Austin Gale always has solid years with Pro Football Focus. He's the Associate Director of Content for Pro Football Focus. He joins us now. Austin, I'm going to lead with this. So you are not a big fan of these quotes from general managers that they're willing to trade out of their pick. I saw you tweet about that earlier today.
What? I'm fired up, man. I had to take on my podcast. I don't understand why reporters and people still get excited when their GM says, yeah, we might trade out. Like every single, show me a single quote where a GM has said, no, we are not trading this pick. I would like to see it. I'm very interested in seeing the quote from the GM that says there is a 0% chance we trade. That none. Yeah, we'll trade. We might trade. Yeah, sure. Yeah, we could offer. We'll listen to some offers. No, duh. That's your job. Your job is to listen to offers. I hate that quote more than anything. The Miami Dolphins GM, Chris Greer, says he owes it to the organization to take calls on trades. No, duh. That's your job. You don't owe it to anything. That's literally in the description.
Man, I like it, Austin. Bring this is even because that's what I'm saying, man. If it's your job, why should I? I mean, man, that's what you're supposed to be doing. I mean, come on, you don't get
it. You owe it to the organization. If you owe, it's just wild to me. I mean, the only thing you owe the organization is to draft some good players here. Picking up the phone with trade offers is literally like the bare minimum expectation.
All right, I'm going to piggyback that, though. If you're the Atlanta Falcons and you have this transcendent dude who's available, Kyle Pitts, should they not take phone calls and not outsmart themselves and just take that guy?
No, I think they have to take phone calls. I mean, there is a team like the Denver Broncos with Drew Lock starting at quarterback in 2021 that could get desperate. You know, trade a future first-round pick and a future second-round pick to go up from 9-4 to go grab a quarterback. And at that point, if you trade down from 4-9, as good as Kyle Pitts is, who's a blue-chip prospect, one of the best tight end prospects we've seen in a long time, you're in a very prime position to get a Devontae Smith, a Jamar Chase, Penei Sewell, Rashawn Slater, Micah Parsons. There are a lot of other really, really talented prospects in this class. Not only do you get one of those guys, you also get two future players in the top 50, guys in 2022 and 2023. That, in my opinion, is awesome. I think it comes back to simple math. You know, I'm coming from PFF, analytics guy, sure, but Kyle Pitts can only play so many snaps in a season. Two, three top 50 picks can play triple the amount of snaps as Kyle Pitts, can have triple the amount of impact if they all turn out to be good players or above-average starters. Having Kyle Pitts, pretend his ceiling projection hits, he's a top-5 tight end in the NFL, versus having Penei Sewell or Sean Slater, who could be top-10 tackles, and then two future picks in the top 50 of 2022, that's going to have more impact on your team. That's going to have more impact on wins.
All right, you're slowly convincing me. Good stuff. Austin Gale at PFF _ Austin joins us on Blaine and Mickey.
Yeah, Austin bringing the juice and the energy, man. No Austin, doubt. For the Titans, who do you think that'll be available in not only round 1, but also in round 2, and why do you think they'll make those picks that you predict?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting situation the Titans are in. I think they're obviously in a position to draft an offensive tackle. I think Isaiah Wilson didn't obviously pan out. He panned out more in the strip clubs on top of cars. But I do think that you have to take a valuable position at the back end of the first. I think there's times to lock into positional need, and it's not now for Tennessee. I think looking at this offensive tackle class, looking at this pass rusher class, trying to chase one of those guys that make a ton of money on their second contract, lock them into 5-year deals, obviously 4 years with the 5th-year extension with the first-round pick, is the move. I mean, the highest paid players in the NFL are tackle and pass rusher. Go get those guys on cheaper rookie contracts with your first round picks. I think they're going to be in a really good spot to get Tevin Jenkins of Oklahoma State or Dylan Raidens of North Dakota State. And then at pass rusher, Quiddy Pay could fall. Jason Owe, Jalen Phillips, Gray Rousseau. You can go get one of those guys at the back end of the first round. Then, because I know a lot of people want them to go receiver, I do think that the big three will be off the board by then. That's Jamar Chase, Devontae Smith, and Jalen Waddle. You could opt into a Terrace Marshall and Elijah Moore, Kadarius Toney, Rashad Bateman at that spot. But I think you'd rather wait till day 2. And guys on day 2 that I like a ton are Josh Palmer of Tennessee. I think a guy that can win on the outside. One of the only receivers last year to beat Patrick Surtain deep. I talked to him on my podcast recently. Very smart player, a guy that can start out of the gate. And then De'Ami Brown, the North Carolina wide receiver that had a limited route tree at North Carolina. We talked about that as well. It's like they didn't ask him to run more than 3 or 4 routes, but he won a lot of those routes. And I think in the NFL, he'll be a more polished receiver.
Oh, man. So you like Josh Palmer going on day 2, not day 3, huh?
Yeah, I mean, I think on the consensus board, you see him falling more closer to day 3. And I think using that, leveraging that, you could probably get yourself a steal in round four. I do think that you don't want to be overconfident in your evaluation at any point in the draft. If I love Josh Palmer, but the consensus is that he's more of a top 100, top 125 player, I wait on him and look to target other positions and find myself a steal in the fourth round.
No question about it. We're on with Austin Gale at PFF. And I guess for me, a lot of people aren't talking about this, but I'm interested in it because I know that it could actually happen and it'd be a star. Who are in that second group of quarterbacks, the second, third round guy that you think can turn into at least Kirk Cousins?
That's tough, man. If there's a Kirk Cousins on day two, day three, you should be sprinting the card. And I do like that. You know, the guys that I do like on day two, day three, Kyle Trask, I think, got a lot of negative attention after what was admittedly a disastrous bowl game without Kadarius Toney and Kyle Pitts in the lineup. He did not look good. There's accuracy concerns there. He's not a big arm guy, but he still played a lot of good football in the SEC. One of the highest graded quarterbacks, according to PFF, this past season, really improved every year of his career there at Florida, developed into, you know, quite the starter for them down the stretch. I think he's an option on day two. Davis Mills is the kid you're hearing about a ton. He's a former five-star out of Stanford. Doesn't necessarily have great arm talent, doesn't have these off-platform crazy throws that Zach Wilson or others have in this class, but he executes. You know, when you remove RPOs and screens and play action from the sample and look just on those standard dropbacks, he has the fastest time to throw of any quarterback in this class. What that tells me, he's an anticipatory thrower that can execute the offense on time. And GMs love that. It's a big reason why, you know, teams chase these quarterbacks that can execute an offense, get the ball out quickly, and move forward. Get the ball in the hands of better players. Get the ball in the hands of yak guys. So I think a lot of people will like Davis Mills. And then the toolsy guy I like on day two is Kellen Mond of Texas A&M. Improved every single year of his career. Still hasn't been as good as a Trask or as good as a Mac Jones playing college football, but could get there with time, could get there with development.
Mm. Well, one guy I want to ask you that we saw a lot of at Florida and Arkansas is, man, he's just kind of off the radar. Is he even going to get drafted?
Felipe Franks? Yeah, I mean, I think he'll get drafted. I think the problem is that you didn't see him significantly improve. You know, I think you wanted him to significantly improve and have a really big leap with Arkansas. But, I mean, he's an interesting frame. He's an interesting athletic profile, like 6'6", 240, runs in like the 4.5s. I might try him at tight end. I don't know. I mean, he's got an interesting frame. I'd be interested to know like how teams view him and, you know, can you turn this big athletic rocket armed quarterback into a legitimate starter? Can you get his processing and actually a decision making to a point where he can be a starter? That's the guy that I think on day three, some team will take a flyer on.
Wrong with Austin Gale, PFF.
Oh, man, gosh. Again, love the energy, love the juice, Austin, and tons of good information. Let's switch to the defensive side. Mm-hmm. We have to do this thing at the radio station where we pick who we think the team will pick, not necessarily who we want, who we think they will pick. I took Christian Barmore. For a while, it seemed like, okay, yeah, he's going to be there at 22. I'm starting to wonder now just because this defensive line draft doesn't seem to be very deep. Maybe a team ahead of the Titans say, okay, if we want the best guy, we just got to get this guy. And do you think he's the best guy at that position?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Christian Barmore is the only first-round caliber defensive tackle in this class. I mean, I think you've seen multiple sources around the league talk about just how bad this defensive tackle class is. If you're looking for a three-down player at defensive tackle, there's literally only one in this class, and it's Christian Barmore. For that reason, he could get moved up some boards. You could see him go inside the top 15, top 20 picks, but if he does start to slide as far as 22, I think you sprint the card in. He's a really talented player, a guy that really turned it on down the stretch. You watch the college football playoff, and he absolutely dominated for Alabama in the trenches down the stretch. From what I've heard from his teammates, too, no player talks more trash than Christian Barmore on the football field. So I'm very interested to see his fit at the next level. I like Barmore a lot. And, again, it comes back to, like, you're not going to find a legitimate three-down starter, at least out of the gate, at defensive tackle in the second, third, or fourth rounds. I mean, there's just not that level of depth at defensive tackle in the 2021 draft.
Mm. All right, another guy who's maybe the most intriguing defensive prospect, certainly, I don't know everybody's story, but Zaven Collins. What is he at the next level? And then I'll say, maybe does that depend on where he goes?
I mean, I don't even think he knows. I don't know if you saw today that his weight came up to he's 6'4", 270 now. 270. I'll tell you right now, no linebackers in the NFL. No linebackers in the NFL weigh in at 270, unless you're playing on the line of scrimmage. So I'm interested to see, like, how much his weight is fluctuating, what teams are asking him to get up to, because if he's trying to bulk up, maybe he plays along the edge. Maybe he plays, you know, closer to the line of scrimmage. Maybe, I don't know. It's going to be interesting, because I'll tell you, you're not going to play a 270-pound linebacker at Zaven Collins' size off ball and ask him to run in coverage. You're going to ask him to rush the passer. So I'm interested to see how teams view him or what teams have told him about his usage in the NFL. He's a gamer, though. Comes out of Hominy, Oklahoma. Population total, 3,000. I had that many kids at my high school. He is a guy that went there, played quarterback, punter, kicker, special teams. He did it all. And now, obviously, goes to Tulsa, stays in Oklahoma, and was objectively the biggest, fastest, and most athletic player in that entire conference, let alone that team. And now, going into the NFL, likely first-round pick, where he's just going to get on a team, and I think you can mold him into whatever you want. Obviously, weight's not an issue. He can get up to 270, probably get down to 260, 255. So I'm interested to see how teams will use him. It's all going to be kind of eye of the beholder with Zaven Collins. It's what system are you going into and where can we play you?
Man, that 3,000 sounds pretty big. My town wasn't even 2,000. Austin Gale joins us here on Blaine and Big East for Pro Football Focus.
Well, Austin, man, with all the juice that you got today, I guess give us a bold prediction of someone who's going to hop into the first round and everybody on offense and defense and everybody's going to go, huh?
Man, that's tough. I think last year I'd say Isaiah Wilson, I guess, right? But I'll think about
we're still saying, huh?
That didn't work. I think it didn't.
Defensively, a surprise name that could jump into the first round is Milton Williams, Louisiana Tech defensive tackle. Insane athleticism. His pro day was comparable to Aaron Donald. That's how insane some of his measurables were from an explosiveness and change of direction standpoint. The problem is he's not Aaron Donald. Nowhere near Aaron Donald. He still needs to develop. He needs to get a lot better. But I think for the same reasons I spoke to about Christian Barmore, like there's just not a lot of good defensive tackles in this class. And when you want one and when you need one, you want to fill a need, Milton Williams could be a guy that's currently projected to probably go on day two that could sneak in the back end of the first. Offensively, I think it's one of these tackles. You know, you have so many good offensive tackles in this class. Right now on PFF's draft board, 8 are inside the top 40 overall players. You could see a guy like Dylan Radins of North Dakota State slip into the first round, even though just playing FCS competition just one game in 2020. Sam Cosmi of Texas, Alex Leatherwood of Bama. You're going to see 4 or 5 offensive tackles go early, and then you could see some guys slip into the back end of the first as well. So I think offensive tackle is a position I look for some of those names as well.
Well, then on the other end of that, you know, being that it's to my heart and nearest to my heart, and that is give us some late round sleepers that'll be potentially starters in the National Football League.
I think the name that comes to mind for me all the time is Cade Johnson, South Dakota State wide receiver that went down to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, and lit everybody up. Highest graded receiver of any player down there in Mobile, according to PFF, during that week of practice and in the game. A guy that I think probably too small to play on the outside, even though I'd like to see him try it, but could translate immediately as a slot receiver in the NFL. And as good as the slot receiver class is, Elijah Moore, Terrace Marshall play in the slot, Kadarius Toney, Rondale Moore. You start to look at a guy like Cade Johnson, South Dakota State, who could probably get in round 4, come in as a starter for you in a league where there are very few teams that don't run at least 3 wide receiver sets, you know, 3-4 wide receiver sets. There's a lot of teams running 11 personnel now. So I think Cade Johnson's a guy that come in as a starter, a low valuable position, but still contribute right out of the gate.
Austin Gale on with us from Pro Football Focus. I think you answered my last question. How deep in this wide receiver class do you think teams can find a starter? Is it the 4th round?
So that it depends. If you're looking for a starter at outside receiver, I do think it starts to dry up pretty quickly after, you know, the first 4 guys. The first 4 guys on our board right now, according to PFF, Devontae Smith, Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, and Rashad Bateman. After that, my favorite outside receiver candidates are probably De'Ami Brown and Josh Palmer, guys that should go inside the first 3 rounds, but you're really going to look for slot depth at that point. The receiving class is deep at slot. Rondale Moore, Kadarius Toney, Elijah Moore, Kay Johnson, Dax Milne. Like, you have a lot of slot types that could start for you that likely won't get drafted inside the top 50 picks. But outside receiver, you better swing the bat on one of those guys I've set up top.
All right, final question. Another tweet. Teams bust, not players. Tell people what you mean by that as we're 8 days out from the draft.
Yeah, this is a take I'm pretty fired up about as well. I think a lot of the times that fans and fan bases will look at a player as them busting. But I think the problem is that when you draft a player, you set the development expectations. If you've gone through all these interviews and given this man the opportunity, a multi-million dollar opportunity because you draft him in the first 20, 30 picks, you set the bar for expectations. It's up to you now to develop him as a man on and off the field, as a technician, all those types of things, work ethic, all that stuff. If you drafted Jamarcus Russell, #1 overall, who knowingly didn't have good work ethic, that's on you. If you couldn't develop him accordingly, that's on you. So often, teams and front offices make the excuse that the player didn't work out. No, the problem is you didn't work out. The team decision makers didn't work out. You fired your head coach 1 year in. You moved offensive coordinators. You didn't start him until week three. Like, all these different decisions are on the team, not the player. There are some instances where luck gets factors in, like injuries and those things, but you draft a player at number 20. You go all this research, months of research with scouts and development and psychologists and all this stuff, and then he doesn't pan out and you blame him? I put the finger on the team.
Man, good stuff, Austin. People need to follow you. They can get all this fire on Twitter, at PFF underscore Austin Gale, Associate Director of Content for the good folks at Pro Football Focus. Thanks, man, and look forward to catching up again soon.
Good stuff, Austin.
Absolutely. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Well, that guy gets off the bus fired up. I love it.
Austin Gale. That's not my type of guy, man. You know, I just wake up fired up.